Take your Bibles and we'll start in Acts 17. I told you in Sunday school I'd give you the web address for the kids. It's called thetaterpatch.org. Thetaterpatch.org. And you can go there and see what they've put on the web. In Acts 17, Paul and Silas have made a trip, and they arrive to find a lady that God's put right there in their way, and she gets saved. I started praying about choices that we make. In January, the kids had an accident. Marty and the kids had an accident, and they just started traveling with me again. So this year, I've spent traveling a lot by myself. And when you're out there by yourself, then you have time and things. You're spending a lot of time by yourself and with the Lord. And Philippians 4:8. You know that's the verse where he tells us how to think, what to think about. And that verse has become an encouragement for me. And you say, well, how is the Lord telling you what to think about? How's that an encouragement? Well, we have a choice after we get saved. Before we get saved, we have no choice. We don't have that goodness in us. We don't have that choice to forgive and live like a Christian. But once we get saved, then the Holy Spirit, God, gives us that choice where we can decide, I'm not going to give in to depression. I'm going to keep my mind where the Bible says. I'm going to think on these things. I'm not going to relive that anger situation that I've just gone through. I'm going to put that aside, and I'm going to put my mind where it belongs to get past this. Forgiveness, holding a grudge, those things are choices. Those are choices. I started thinking about through the Bible that, all the way back to the garden. That's how we ended up with sin, because of the choices that we make. So then their kids, Adam and Eve's kids, they decided one made a good choice, one didn't, and we had our first murder. Choices. So here in Acts 17, they have a choice. And this sermon came together in a very strange situation. It was me, an evangelist, and a pastor. We were all sitting down together. We were talking about, at lunchtime, we were sitting there talking about the things that the Lord does if we wouldn't quit. And a pastor says, well, he says, I've had people come through my church, and they're there for a short time. They get saved. They get started studying the Word of God, and then they quit. And this pastor said, I just knew this was going to be somebody who was going to serve in the church, somebody who could teach a Sunday school class and do very well and quit. And so we started talking about, and so all three of us together decided, well, there's a situation with Paul and Silas. And they didn't quit. They had every opportunity. They had good reason to quit, and they didn't. They show up. This lady gets saved. The lady in the marketplace that has the spirit, she ends up getting saved, and they get accused. And so there's a perverse situation where they're accused, they're beaten, and then they're blessed with a soul. The Lydia, the seller of purple, she got saved. Then the lady in the marketplace and so they're arrested and beaten and put in prison. So their backs tore up. They're sitting there in stocks, their feet and their hands, and they're in a dungeon. They're on innermost. It says, if you read the verses there, it says there's an inner. They're put in inner to keep secure. So it's not. They don't have sunlight coming through. That they're in an inner. It's dark. It's cold. They're in stocks, and it's midnight. And if you look at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So the back up just a second. The title that we three came up with was "The Potential of Persistence is the Product of Success." The potential means something can happen. Persistence is not quitting, keeping on, doing what, just putting one foot in front of the other. I'm not going to quit. This year that we've spent, the opportunity, a lot of people, beginning with folks that are on the periphery, people down in Florida that we've been, y'all need to come back to Florida. Y'all need to come back and move back down to and get back with, be close to family. You need to. And so from the earlier part of this year through this year, it's been getting stronger and stronger until just a few days ago. I had a phone call. In fact, after I met Pastor George, since then, a phone call from the home office. Brother Wilson, we've been talking, the leadership here, and we have every now and then we have a leadership meeting, and we discuss our missionaries that are having a difficult situation, and your name came up. And we would like to invite you to move south. We would like to invite you to come down to the Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina area, and we can help you if you can bring your family and move down here. And I said, "Are you inviting me to quit?" He said, "Well, brother, we don't want to put it that way." I said, "No, we're not going to quit. We've already settled." I said, "In fact, the Lord just gave us a house." And I said, "Yeah, we've been struggling. I've been sick the last 7 weeks. I have had every symptom. I have a stomach disorder and an intestinal disorder, and there's no cure for it, but I've had every symptom flare up. 105 degree temperature. It's nasty. I don't want to go through all that. But for 7 weeks, and that works on you. That works on your mind. And so I've been spending a little time with the Lord. And that's why Philippians 4:8 comes to mind. Because fighting that depression, fighting that keeping your mind, I have a choice now. And so when he invited me, so he real quickly left that, and he said, "Then this is what we'd like, and we'd like you to come south and get your training, get your coordinator's training. We'd like to, and then we'll also help you with some deputation." He said, "If you'll come down from January through March, then we'll help you out, and then you go back and you can hit the ground running." He said, "Let's finish up your deputation and get you on there." Missionaries that don't finish their deputation, they don't finish raising their support, it eventually they just run out of steam and they quit, and they know that, and so they want to make sure that my family is taken care of while I'm out doing what I need to do, and so they want to help us finish our raising our support. But here in Acts 17, they have an opportunity to quit. Acts 16. Acts 16, 25. Okay, so they have an opportunity to quit, and they decide. Silas is new. Paul decides, this is what we do. When we're in a situation like this, this is what we do. We don't get down. We don't get away from the Lord. We get closer to the Lord, and we start singing and praising. And many times I start praying, thanking the Lord. I end up at the end of praising the Lord, and I feel a whole lot better. But this is where they are. The power of persistence here in this place. The last phrase of that verse, "And the prisoners heard them." And when the prisoners heard them, the Lord decided, well, he's going to do something. He shakes the prison. They're all, and so because they wouldn't quit, because they persisted in praising and praying, and what happened? What was the outcome? Well, the jailer, his family, prisoners, got saved. So we three were sitting around talking about it. I said, well, is there somebody else in the Bible? And they had a bigger response because they wouldn't quit. And we real quickly came up with Genesis. Genesis 38. Joseph. A lot of things we can learn from Joseph. But in Genesis, the same thing. He's blessed. He's blessed because he's been bought by Potiphar, and he's control of his house, and nothing is outside of his control, save his wife. And so he's been blessed. But then temptation crops up, and temptation in the form of his wife, of Potiphar's wife. And so she persists in tempting him in through this chapter, through this story. And she doesn't just invite him once, but again and again. And his loyalty to his master, and he's persistent. The persistence to stay pure decides. Is it Psalm 57? My heart, David said, my heart is fixed. I fixed my heart. Well, Joseph has fixed his heart. He's not going to submit. He's not going to succumb to temptation. The power of persistence here. So you know the story. He gets blamed, put in jail, beat. You know the story. Forgotten. And then at the right time, the Lord says, all right, this is where you've been heading. And he becomes the savior of not one nation, but two. Egypt and Israel. And so the power of persistence. He wouldn't quit. When the devil hung pitches out there one right after the other. Bad pitches, the devil hung out there and he never would swing. Until finally God put one right across the plate and he hit a home run. Because he wouldn't quit. We have choices every day when the Lord nudges us. She needs a track. When the Lord nudges us, she needs help. Take some time and talk to her. When the Lord says, I'm going to put you in this path of this person, and it's you. You're the only one there, and if you don't help them, nobody is. Sometimes it's a family member. But the devil always gives us a choice. The devil always gives us, and a lot of times it's easier in the beginning to choose what the devil puts out there. Anger feels so much better than swallowing it. It feels so good to lay on that horn and start screaming at that guy in front of you that's an idiot, and he'll never know, and you're finished, and God said, okay, how'd that go? Sometimes, but the end, because next time you do it and your kids are in the car and they're, Mom, you should have heard Pop. He was telling that guy off. We have choices. And sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes it seems like the only choice is to do what feels good, what the natural man says. Sometimes that's, and then all of a sudden the Lord presents, this is where I want you. And when you wait, and sometimes, oh man, I can take you to several different places in the Bible, but I don't think we're going to get off track, chase those rabbits, but places where their ministry was dead. And Joseph is one. I mean, he's thrown in a hole. And the Lord gave him dreams. His dad gave him a coat, and he's not his brother's favorite, and they're jealous of him. And it seems like it's all done. It's all over. Put him in a hole, and one of his brothers saves his life. Seems like it's all over. I would think that's a good place to quit. But God had other plans, and then directly he Here you go. And unmistakably, the Lord. And that's what he does. When we get to the end of ourselves, and he said, okay, now, here you go. And in the last 7 weeks, I've been asking the Lord, what is going on? I traveled last year for a little over 3 months down south, and I was staying with a family, and one of the things I cannot eat is greens, and anything green. And so the lady brings me a salad and puts it down right in front of me. I mean, this big bowl of greens and cucumbers. And right here, eat that. And let me get you something else. And so she put it down, slammed it down. Her husband's sitting there, and she leaves. And I'm, okay, what am I going to do, Lord? And you know this is going to kill me. And no, I will not risk offending her. And Lord, you'll just have to take care of it. And he did. Not one symptom. So having experienced his grace, then when I'm going through all of these symptoms, I know the Lord could just cut it off. I know he could protect me from whatever it was. I have no idea. It's been like 5 or 6 years since I had that strong of a reaction to something. And the Lord says, nothing. And so 7 weeks I'm sick, and I'm thinking, Lord, have I missed something here? What? And so I'm ripe to quit. I'm about ready to. And my wife is even saying, "What's going on? What's going on here?" And then the Lord comes by, and just a couple days ago, the phone call. There's a man in our ministry, and we have had a problem, and he's in upper leadership. And not been able to work it out, tried to call him and talk to him. Every time I talk to him, he just gets angry. And so I've just been asking the Lord, take care of it. Leave it in your hands. There's nothing I can do about it. And sure enough, this phone call the other day, the answer came and solved the whole problem. And everything is just lined up, and now the answers are falling in place. And there's no way I can say it's got anything to do with me. It's all him. And he makes sure that we know it's all him. When the answer came for Joseph, and Joseph persisted in purity, that power, the power of persistence, just not quitting. We don't have to be anything special. We don't have to have talent. We don't have to have anything except persistence. Love the Lord, be surrendered, and persist. Don't quit. There's a guy just came to mind down in Florida, and he is he's probably mentally about 12 years old, but he's 40-something, and John and Clint are his best friends, and wouldn't hurt a fly, but he talks in a strange fashion. All of a sudden, one day in church, when church is going on for a while, and he's sitting there, and he goes, "I'm ready to go home now." And the whole service just broke the whole service up. And Stu is a guy in our church. He says, "But Stu, I'm ready to go home now." But he won't quit for nothing. People make fun of him. People accuse him of stuff. And he's been in jail because somebody accused him, and then they finally figured out it wasn't. It was a false accusation. But I gave him some tracts, and I said, "Are you reading your Bible?" "Yep, reading my Bible every day, just like you said." "That's okay." I said, "Well, do you talk to anybody about the Lord?" "Nope." I said, "Well, would you like to?" He says, "I reckon." So I said, "Well, here's some tracts." I said, "Here's 5 tracts. I said, "Would you hand them out sometime this week?" So he's very literal. And so he left church, went and handed those 5 tracts out, came back. "I'm done." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, here's 5 more. I said, "Take some time." And I said, "Pass them out through the week." I said, "Don't go pass them all out right now." He says, "You sure?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "But John, I'll go do it right now." And I said, no. I said, "Wait." I said, "When you go someplace this week on your bike," I said, "you see somebody on the sidewalk," I said, "you stop and give it to them." So next week, "I did that. Can I have more?" And he passes out tracts like nobody I've ever seen. And he talks to people. And he's just honest and open, and he will not quit. lives all by himself. Nobody take care of him. You don't have to be anything special. Just available. And the Lord can use someone who's surrendered. Choices. Our choices have consequences. Some lasting years. But we started talking, us three again, about, well, is there somebody that had a bigger outcome than Joseph? And of course we all, oh yeah, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus, the temptation. And so we're talking about persistence, we're talking about not quitting. So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, Matthew 4, 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So Jesus is being led, and the devil thinks, I got him. I'm getting him out. He's not going to be able to eat. I'm going to wear him down. I've got him. And of course, Jesus is thinking the opposite. I'm going with him because I need people to see. I need Christians to see that you can face the devil. When David numbered the people, he didn't know it, but it was Satan that put him up to that. Well, Satan can't touch us. Satan can't do anything to us unless he has permission. Am I right? All right. Now, we don't know when Satan himself shows up, but as we grow in Christ, then we graduate. And I heard a preacher say one time, and it's right, new levels, new devils. The closer we get to the Lord, then the stronger opposition we face. And so when David numbered the people, then God let Satan tempt him to do that. Because God wanted to do something in the lives of the children of Israel. He wanted to punish them, but he also wanted David in a place. He wanted his heart in a place where he would do something as well. And if you read the story, what David ended up doing was putting together the place where the tabernacle would be built. He couldn't build it. God wouldn't let him. But when he numbered, he had more than 1 million men in his army. He had all of the gold and silver and the wood, everything he needed to build the tabernacle. And he was at the pinnacle. And God didn't want him there. God wanted him down here. God wanted his heart to be ready to do what he wanted. And so at the end of this, when God told the angel to sheath his sword, where they built that altar on the threshing floor, Ornan's threshing floor, where he built that altar and sacrificed and the fire came down, was the place where the altar would be for the tabernacle, which is the first thing you meet when you come into the tabernacle, the altar. So then, that's also the place, most likely, because it's Mount Moriah, they mentioned, where Abraham went to sacrifice his son. The Old Testament is full of pictures. And so, in the future, guess where that place is now? In Israel, where the tabernacle will be built, where the Arabs have a mosque, and where... So the picture comes through, but David wouldn't, a lot of times we can't hear God because we're so full of ourselves. And so God will bring us to a place, and he'll use Satan, he'll use a church member, he'll use an unsaved person, he'll use a donkey. So if God can use a donkey, he can use me. But he wants us in a place, and he'll put us in a place where God wants a ministry. He'll put a ministry. And you may miss if you don't want to. He just, okay, fine, I'll use somebody else. But if you want to be available, then he can use you. And I hope, I think the Lord is going to do something here in New England. I think revival is just right around the corner. He's done it before here. This is where it started. I think he's going to do it again. And we're asking the Lord, let us be a part of it. Please use us, whatever you're going to do here. I think he's going to do something great here in the Northeast. And we just want to be we're available, Lord, if you want to use us. We're ready. We're prepared. We're trying to get everything exactly where we need to be so that he can do a work. And that's what I see this year being about. It's easier to do to figure things. It's easier to go through something when you get it figured out a little bit. You make some sense of it. And I think that's where what he was doing this year was getting us in that place where he could say, okay, now you're ready. You've done everything you can do. Now let me. And see what he's going to do in the coming few years. So we get to Matthew chapter 4, and the devil thinks he's got Jesus. Jesus knows he's got the devil. And so this temptation of Christ, just my personal opinion, and make sure you understand that it's just my personal opinion, I don't think the Lord ever was going to fall. I don't think there's any way he could have fall. He has no sin nature. I don't think there was any. But he needed to go through it to show us that we could go through it. Because he was all man. He was all God. He was all man. And we can go through it. We know what to do when we're tempted. Because the power, he proved the power of the Word of God. Persistently giving the devil back the Word of God. And so he proved that we can go through temptation if we'll use the Word of God. Because every time he said, it's written. It's written. It's written again. And he gave Satan back the Word of God. And because he persisted in not swinging at the devil's pitch that he hung out there, he gave the devil back. And he proved the devil wrong. And he persisted in proving the power of the Word of God. And the entire world can be saved. Their sin is paid for. They have no choice if they don't know. You say, well, the Bible says even nature. It does. It does. But when somebody shows up with the Word of God, when a servant of the Lord shows up with the Word of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord is present, things happen. Things happen. So when we give the Word of God out, when we share the gospel, what are we doing? We're giving them information so that they can make a choice. The information is the gospel. And yes, a lot of people, it does cause things to happen. Some people get mad. Some people get fall to their knees. Some people, things happen when you start sharing the Word of God. But giving them choices. I was 7 years old and in a church where they didn't preach the gospel. Hyper-Calvinist. They did not preach. They thought it was wrong to preach the Word of God, to preach the gospel. Sovereignty. If you're going to get saved, then God will make. That's not right. And I have a particular dislike for Calvinism. I would not have gotten saved. I was not going to. My Sunday school teacher said Jesus wants the little ones to come to him. And I started reading that Bible story in my Bible, and I would go forward and ask the pastor, what does this, and he'd send me back to my mom. And my mom wasn't in a position. She had a pill to go to sleep with, a pill to wake up with, and then she had this one little one, that little red one that she took in the middle of the day to keep from killing us. And so she had a pill for everything, and she wasn't any help. And the Lord brought a missionary from Australia to the United States, all the way to Missouri, down Highway Inn next to Platte City, and broke him down. And he walked down to our church Sunday morning, about 2.5 blocks away. And he came. I'm trying to get to where I'm supposed to preach this morning. And the pastor said, "Well, we're fixing to start. Why don't you come in? Why don't you just preach for us this morning, and then we'll help you after church?" He said, "Okay, that's the deal." And so he made a phone call. He said, "If you let me use your phone," and he did. He called the church and so he's okay. I'm all set. And his name was Bolson, And he had a trombone, and he played his trombone, and he preached, and guess what he preached? The gospel. And I got saved that morning. And it was years later when I figured out what God did for me. I was at my wit's end. And so he says, I'll send you a missionary by. And I got saved. As far as I know, nobody else ever got saved. They didn't even have a baptistry in the church. When the river thawed, when the Platte River thawed, then we went down and I got baptized in the Platte River in June. And as far as I know, no one else ever, dinner on the ground, all kind of fellowship, but no gospel. And the Lord did that for me. I got a choice. So when we go to schools, when we go to prison, when you go to jail, giving the men choices. Well, if once you understand that what you're doing, then it kind of takes all the self out of it. Because, see, when I go to prison and preach, I'm just laying it out there, and then the Lord is going to do what he's going to do. Somebody gets saved, that's him. Somebody doesn't get saved, that's him. The choices that we make, I choose to be surrendered. I choose to make myself available. I choose to carry tracts in my pocket so that I can give that out when the Lord nudges me. The choices that we make, if we won't quit, the Lord can do something with us. But if you quit, if you get mad and leave the church and never come back, you're not in the place where the Lord can say, hey, this is what you need to do. Here's somebody that can the Lord puts people together. If you look in the Bible, twos are the thing. He puts two people together. He sent out 70 in pairs. He had 12 disciples that they would go in pairs. Sometimes threes, Peter, James, and John. Sometimes threes. But the pattern in the Bible is twos, husband and wife. Twos. Where two stand, it's harder to fall. I'm trying to obey the Lord here this morning. I think we're just about done here. I think he's done what he wanted. Let me say this. If you'll stick close to the Lord, if you'll stick close to your pastor, if you'll be in the places where he can reach you, then there's no limit to what he can do. And the younger generation, they look at us, and we don't know they're looking at us. They're tomorrow. The school kids, they're our tomorrow. Communists knew that they could never frontally attack the United States and win. So they decided that they were going to come in and reach our children. And they did. The universities, stronghold. They reached their minds and hearts, and we let them. They do it on TV. The shows that they put on there, they do it. They reach, and they never have to fire a shot. But if we will decide that we're going to reach them, we're going to change our tomorrow by reaching them today, then the power of persistence, they're that product of success. Our children, our prisons, they're going to get out, and our prison population just keeps growing and growing. And these are not folks that can, they're not going to have a $10,000 check to put in the offering plate. But God has a way of saying, I'll take care of that. When we reach those who can't help themselves. When we take the gospel and give them a choice to choose Jesus or to reject him. More often than not, they choose Jesus. The Holy Spirit does his work. So, I think that's where we are this morning. What do you choose? What is your choice? Because Paul and Silas decided they wouldn't bow to the temptation to be depressed, to be hurt in their spirit. God, we look what we did, and now you've done this to us. And there is somebody in the Bible. She had a little girl with her that wouldn't leave, wouldn't quit, Ruth. And Naomi said, God's dealt with me bitterly. Well, she didn't really understand. And where that bitterness, she had reason, but she also had reason not to. And the answer was just right there. But she couldn't see the answer right there. And so this morning, I guess that's where we are. What choice will you make? He's put us together today for a reason. Brother George, all the way over there in Maine, and he's put us together here for a reason this morning. Is this it? He said, well, you weren't very entertained this morning. This, you're just kind of quiet and just kind of laid it out there. And, I'm sorry, that's the way it is. That's where the Lord is. I'd love to sing and dance for you, but I don't think that's where we are this morning. So there it is. And I don't belabor an invitation. You do business with the Lord because you need to do business with the Lord. And Pastor, if you don't mind, we can just stand up and somebody can come to the piano and play us a song, make it easy, bow your heads and ask the Lord, where are you this morning? Ask the Lord, what does he have in store for you? Ask the Lord, do I have a choice to make this morning? Is being being in school, being in jail, being whatever ministry he has for you. And he may have said something completely different to you this morning. It wouldn't surprise me. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, there was something that happened and I'm not real sure. And okay, well, that's the thing with kids who are raised in church. They just doubt. They don't have any other devils. They don't have those devils from their background. That's all the devil is in heaven. This morning, maybe there's a choice that you have. There's somebody that the Lord's been dealing with you about reaching. Your neighbor stands out there every morning and sees you go by and I don't know. I have no idea where you are this morning. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows. And he brought us by this morning for a reason. So is there a choice you need to make this morning? You don't have to move. When you move, it kind of makes a difference in your decision. I'm confirming what the Lord's saying by moving. Sometimes you move to the back, front, side, 3 feet left or right. It doesn't matter. Just move. If the Lord's nudged you this morning, then do business with him. Now's the time.
How will they hear without a preacher? I might be the pastor, but every one of you are preachers. Every one of you can do exactly what he said. Have a choice. Go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. Because there's a hell. It's hot. It's real. And it's going to be filled with a whole lot of people. We can cause that. We can bring Christ's light. We're hearing about a new church going to happen in Springfield, Vermont, called Lighthouse Baptist Church. We need to be those lighthouses. We need to be the ones out there. God's calling the church to do something. What it is, I'm not sure. But he's calling the church to do something. Pray that God will use us, unite us, and make us the preachers he wants us to be, that we can reach people out there for Jesus Christ. And the reason is because of the fact that Jesus paid it all. So turn in your hymnals to hymn 131. Joe's going to mercifully come up and lead us. And we'll sing exactly why we're able to be preachers of the gospel. Lord, so far, it's going to continue. As we're getting lunch ready downstairs, please stop by the table, see what Brother Wilson has. Ask, is this something we need to support? Is this something we can support? I'll tell you right now, if Christ isn't in it, we can't support it. But if Christ is in it, we cannot fail by supporting it. So we need to pray about that, maybe continue fasting, then ask exactly, what does God want us to do? So let's close in prayer. Go introduce yourself to Brother Wilson. Let him show you what he's got in mind, what he has for us. And then we'll go down and enjoy the bounty that God has given us. Let us close in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you have allowed us to have choices. You have allowed us to see you as you are. You have given us your word. You have raised yourself up that will draw all men to you. And Lord, we have a choice whether to follow you or to reject you. Praise God, the people in here, I believe for the most part, have followed you, have accepted the blood of the slain lamb as payment for our sins. As such, by giving you our wages of sin, you've given us your righteousness. Yeah. Lord, you've given us that grace for a reason, to show others, to glorify your name by allowing others to see that same grace, to see that same light. Allow us, empower us, use us in your way, in your will, that will make it so that we can glorify your holy name in all things. If there's anybody here who's not saved yet, let today be the day that they make that choice, the most important choice of all eternity. And let them come, ask me, ask someone who brought them, ask Brother Wilson, what is it I need to do to be saved, just like that Philippian jailer did in Acts chapter 16. We ask all of this in your precious son's dear name. Amen.